awesome, awesome Thursday show lined up for you guys right here on Sports Club. Of course, this is Sports Club. Got to say thanks to Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. How are you guys doing today? We're in that fun part where there's some interesting things going on in the NFL. There are some interesting things going on in the National Basketball Association. There are fun things going on all over the place. I'm going to do my best to get to as many of them as I can. The back part of this show, we will be talking to myself and Coach Hill. We recorded over the weekend with Rob Jenners from 680 The Fan and, of course, the big podcast with Shaq. That guy is super awesome, huge Simpsons fan. He drops a little knowledge about the Simpsons and about a particular episode. I actually went back and watched the episode last night. I wasn't sure I had seen it. Turns out I have seen it. It is a fantastic episode. And why am I talking about Simpsons? Well, you're going to have to listen later on to find out, because it's a very good reason. But of course, hopefully you guys see the new logo. We're working on some things there, and hopefully you guys not only enjoy that, but if you're listening to us live, we definitely appreciate that. You can drop your comments, questions, suggestions all over our social media. We will definitely get those at Team Impact Media, at The Impact 99, if you want to hit us up on Twitter. Of course, on Facebook, you guys know how to find us there. We're Impact Media on there. If you're in the iTunes store, if you download us from iTunes, make sure to leave us a rating and review. Leave us some comments if you'd like. We appreciate that as well. Helps make the show better. And I promise you, we will have some swag being sent out very, very soon for those of you who have done that. But lots of fun things coming on tonight. Where do we want to start? Let's do a little housekeeping first. I want to make sure everybody knows that we are up and running. And, you know, I like to open it up for the first part of the show or so. If you are listening live and you have any questions, comments, suggestions, call us. 347-826-7448. Remember to keep it as PG or PG-13 as you can. We do have little ears and young people that listen to us, and also people that may not want to hear a lot of adult language. We don't really do that, so. But got some fun things, as always, that we will get to starting right now. I want to talk about that Game 7 a little bit in the NBA, the Eastern Conference Finals, where LeBron led the Cavs over the Celtics 87-79. It's just LeBron pulled a Alexander Ovechkin. He just decided, you're going to have to kill me to beat me. And since they didn't kill him, he beat him. And we can say all the time that he's playing with a bunch of bums. Oh, well, the Celtics this. Let's just not make excuses. Let's just say LeBron took over a game and he won it. So now that's set up, obviously. What I think tonight is game one between the Warriors, who won the West over Houston. We kind of figured that was going to happen. So it's going to be the Warriors, the Cavs, part four. How do we feel about that? Well, I feel pretty good. Feel pretty good about that, actually. And you guys should feel good about it, too. You have the best player on the planet. You can argue that all you want, but LeBron's the best player on the planet. At least of this generation, right? We can all agree there. Against arguably one of the best teams that are trying to make a dynasty run. I'm not sure how much further the dynasty is going to go. They're going to have to start paying a few more people. But in the Warriors, it's going to be a good matchup. Who's going to win? I don't know. It's hard to know anything like that. It's also, as I'm trying to figure out what's going on with our thing here. No, it's going to be a great matchup. It always is a great matchup. Can LeBron and this latest cast keep up with the Warriors? Can they find a way to beat LeBron? I mean, it's very possible, right? It's definitely possible. Predictions, I mean, I'd like to think LeBron has the Cavs playing better than the Warriors right now as far as a complete team. But, you know, I think I got to say though, I really feel like the Warriors may win this one. I'm going to say Warriors in six. Six is the number I like to pick a lot. I just feel like the Warriors are going to be able to neutralize LeBron a little bit. I still don't understand why more teams don't try to isolate LeBron. Not isolate, but double, triple team him, make somebody else on this team beat you. It's a pretty good strategy, and yet nobody seems to want to do it. I'm going to go ahead and say Warriors in six. We'll see how that goes. But overall, I look forward to it. I'm going to try to catch a little bit of it. You guys know I don't always get to watch all the sporting events that I'd like. I DVR a lot of them, try to catch highlights and such all the time. Got lucky. I got to the studio early today, early enough to see the Atlanta United game, even though I know the outcome. So, you know, I'm going to try my best to watch some of this tonight and maybe have a better picture by what they'll play two or three games between here and next Thursday. I'll have a better grasp on the way this series is going to go. But as good as LeBron is, I feel like the Warriors are about to add championship number two. That's going to make people like Joe Fortenbaugh very happy. It's going to make people like Cody Elias very happy. And it's not always a bad thing. In fact, it's very rarely a bad thing. My team's not in it, so why not have your friends' teams win it? Will Power wins the 102nd running of the Indy 500. Will Power wins a lot of races. It's an interesting name. Not sure why he is not an evangelist or something like that. Just kidding. Nothing wrong with either of those. But Will Power wins the 102nd Indy 500. His wife pulled the Taylor Swift of acting like it's never happened before. Like he's never won a race. Yeah. Wasn't buying it. So happy for you, Will Power. But the most talked about thing from this race, it has nothing to do with the winner. It has to do with somebody who was running for the last time. And that was one Danica Patrick, who really made her name on the Indy scene before moving to NASCAR and doing pretty well there. But Danica Patrick ran her last race ever. She wanted to run Daytona for NASCAR. She wanted to run Indy, the Indy 500 for Formula One there, or IndyCar, I can't remember the name of it, but either way. And in both races, not only the Daytona race, but this one, she was wrecked in a wreck early and didn't finish the race. Now, all right, we all know that I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan, coach with his affiliations to the Packers, so I don't want this to reflect either way, but I can't lie. When I saw that Danica wrecked early when she was expected to do very well, the first thing I thought of is Well, she has the right person to comfort her because Aaron Rodgers is supposed to win every Super Bowl every year, and somehow his team or organization lets him down. And he'll probably just say, hey, welcome to my side of things. But I'm hoping that changes pretty soon, actually. I feel like the Packers are pretty close. But back to Danica. I'm not sure what she's going to do going forward. Maybe she'll do some commentary. Maybe she'll do some appearances, some other things. Maybe she'll go to a lot of Packer games. That's something to look forward to. Danica seems like a great person. Everybody that I've ever met says she's fantastic. She is always up for a chat or to at least say hello, take pictures. But good luck to her and her future endeavors, and good luck to her and Aaron on hopefully their relation or whatever they're calling their hanging out. And good luck to Aaron Rodgers, because we all know things go better in the league when the Packers, the Raiders, and the Cowboys are all towards the top. I mean, we can all agree, right? Moving on. I'm going to stay right there with racing. I'm going to go to NASCAR, the 59th Coca-Cola 600 up in Charlotte Motor Speedway. Shout out to good friend of the show and good friend of mine, Matt Ridgway, who works for Stuart Haas Racing, actually. But I believe he got to take his dad to the race. And he was also on a promo video for them about Memorial Day because, you know, Matt, thank you for your service. He served his time in the U.S. Army before getting out, going to automotive school and getting a job in the industry like that. But the 59th Coca-Cola 600, was won by one Kyle Busch. For people who don't know, Kyle is my favorite driver. I like a handful of other drivers, but Kyle's always been my favorite. I like him because Kyle Busch drives just balls to the wall. I'm going to drive the wheels off this thing and either glue them on or just try to just, if I have to go on nothing but hubcaps, I'm going to make it. He drives the wheels off of things. But not only congratulations to Kyle for winning, and I don't know how many other people have done this, but after this win at Charlotte Motor Speedway, Kyle Busch has now officially won a race at every track on the circuit. Every track. That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. He has won a race at every stop on the NASCAR circuit. That's just, you know, he gets the applause from here because, like I said, even if it was a racer I did not like, there are not many I don't like. Even if it was, it doesn't matter who it is, it could literally be any of the racers. To do that kind of feat, that's incredible. So, congratulations, Kyle, on your victory at the 59th Coca-Cola 600, and congratulations on winning a race at every stop on the NASCAR circuit. That's just incredible. What do we got left? Let's talk a little. Let's talk a little Atlanta United. Obviously, they faced the New England Revolution last night up in New England. They actually play at Gillette Stadium. I think you guys have heard of that. That's where one Tom Brady would usually be, except for the fact that he's not at OTAs. Whole different story. But Atlanta United came in with a lot of fanfare and pomp and circumstance to a point. And then proceeded to, like, they get the 1-0 lead early. Martinez, who is emerging as my new favorite player, just like the guy. And apparently a handful of my friends have already met him, and they say he's great. So Martinez puts one in early. I think it's 25th, 26th minute. I could be off. Either way. Then all the way up to the 88th minute, still 1-0. And Kevin Kratz, who had just got put into the game, gets called for a penalty, which ultimately gives a penalty shot to the Revolution. And they proceed to bury it in the back of the net because no matter how good Brad Guzan is, he cannot defend the entire goal. It's just humanly impossible. You can try, but it's all about guesswork when that happens. So, ends up 1-1 with a draw. Once again, the Atlanta United get some points, which is a good thing. They continue the unbeaten streak, especially on the road. However, once again, Atlanta United leaves points and opportunities on the field that they could have capitalized on. That's fine. They are in sole possession, as I heard from Doug Robertson from the AJC and Jason Longshore from 92.9 The Game and Soccer Down Here. You know, we've had them on before. They were on Doug's podcast, Southern Fried Soccer, and said Atlanta is still in sole possession of the points lead in the top of the table and everything, which is good. But, you know, this team has got to start getting more 3 points as opposed to 1 point, or some weird things are going to happen. There's already the talks of if Miguel Almiron could be traded / sold off to France, maybe as part of a loan system right now. It would be after the season, because obviously we need him going into the playoffs that we are hopefully bound for. Or if they could move on from Joseph Martinez. Hopefully, I mean, I'm not going to say hopefully they don't get rid of either. If they do, I think Almiron would get the bigger price. Business, I understand how soccer works to that point. Hopefully, they make the best decision. I feel like Martinez would be the better one going forward. But then again, the last time a Atlanta franchise had a chance to move on from some young talent, they ended up taking a pitcher that has done okay, but he's not an ace, and you should have kept one of the other guys. And you didn't listen to me. Not that I know everything, but pretty good at guessing these things. But either way, Atlanta United, another solid performance. Brad Guzan, just incredible, the things he does. People like Mikey Ambrose. McCann was back in the lineup. Parkhurst, a lot of other guys. I really like these formations that they do. I think it really sets up a lot of aggressiveness. Atlanta United is not a team to really play back. So, you know, they don't really sit on the ball, which is what most MLS teams used to do. They'd build up a one- or two-goal lead and then just sit back and play catch with each other, basically. So it's good that Atlanta doesn't do these kinds of things, and it's good they're still in first. Obviously, the next match they have, as we turn to our handy-dandy calendar, as we flip to the month of June, maybe. There we go. They will be back home this Saturday versus the Philadelphia Union. That is a 7 p.m. kickoff on that one. And actually, the Gold Cup game against Charleston Battery, I believe, will be at KSU Stadium next Wednesday. You can still get tickets for both of those, I believe. Check Ticketmaster and ATLUTD.com for those. But congratulations on extending the streak. I want to keep it right there with soccer, or really football, and tell you that Real Madrid won their third straight UEFA Championship League title. Gareth Bale had 2 goals off the bench for a 3-1 victory versus Liverpool. This was a really good match. I was able to catch it about 10 minutes in. I went back and watched the first 10 minutes. Gareth Bale. Wow. Wow. And then there's talks that he may not be around next year. I know plenty of places that it would be great to see him play. Hello, MLS. I think that's a little further down the list as far as destinations. But, wow, you know. But congratulations to them on the 3-1 victory, like I said, versus Liverpool. Gareth Bale with the 2 goals off the bench. He scored them both in about 10 minutes. The weird thing about Real Madrid is that their coach, Zinedine Zidane, for people who don't quite remember who that is, many years ago, he is the famous French national player who turned and headbutted an opponent right in the chest. It was I still to this day don't know what the guy said or did to him. He more than likely deserved it because Zidane's not one to do that. But he is the coach who has helped them win 3 straight UEFA Champions League titles, and he promptly resigned this morning. I feel like he's just going to take some time off, and then plenty of people will be lining up for him to come coach their teams. Who knows, maybe Atlanta United's in that mix if Tata Martinez is is it moves on from that point. We don't know how long he's going to be here. I mean, he may be here for a long time, but soccer is all about transition. We will see how that goes. Once again, shout out to Atlanta United and Real Madrid on their performances, and look forward to more from both squads. Let's see, what are we? Just a few quick notes about the NFL. The big thing going on right now is that some NFL players either staged or have staged a protest outside the league office regarding the new anthem policy. That's fine. They have the right to do that. I don't have a problem with them trying to raise awareness of how they feel about things. They're doing it in a peaceful way. Nobody's getting fined or suspended currently. I think it's good that they're letting the league office know how they feel about things. And we'll have to see how it goes from there. Because this anthem thing is not over with the AAF that we'll talk about in a minute, and the XFL coming soon. We'll have to see how those leagues react to these kinds of things. But, you know, overall, I think their protest got the attention of the league. The league is going to look into some other things. And we'll see what happens from there. We'll have more on this in the next couple of weeks. I wanted to get that out there so that you guys knew about it if you didn't already, or to just know our stance. At the current moment, we don't really have much of a stance because they have the right to protest, and the league has the right to allow them to do that. Let's see. John Elway fails to qualify for the Senior U.S. Open. I had no idea that he was trying to do that, but good for him. Seems he's in Tony Romo territory, where he's trying to qualify for some golf events. You know, maybe Elway makes it into one of them here in the near future. And good luck to him in that. But he's going to have his hands full with the Denver Broncos here soon. So, John, you better put those clubs away and get to camp, because you got some things you got to work out. Brandon Marshall has signed with the Seattle Seahawks. A couple things here. One, Seattle bringing in a good veteran receiver to help Russell Wilson. Two, Brandon Marshall, a more outspoken veteran in this league, gets a job before Dez Bryant, even though I doubt Dez Bryant would have taken this small of a contract. I think that's Dez's thing. The reason why Dez didn't sign, for all you Cowboys fans out there, remember I'm 1-2. The reason Dez is not a Cowboy and the reason why I don't think he's signed is he still thinks he's worth, you know, $12, $14 million, and he's not. Dez, just do the smart thing and take 6 or 8 and keep playing. I know it's hard for people to understand. Usually I'm all about the players getting all the money they can, because tomorrow's not promised. You never know. You might be out of the league. He could be out of the league sooner rather than later just over this. And, you know, and it's slightly different, too. If you're making $20 an hour at your job and your boss comes up and says, hey, you're pretty much out of a job tomorrow unless you take $15 an hour, I get why you'd be upset at that point. That's one thing. But when you've been making $10, $12, $14 million a year, even $8 million a year, and they pretty much say if you want a job in this league, you're going to be taking a little less than that, and you won't, that's kind of on you. Dez, you still got plenty left. You are still a great fit on a lot of teams. So suck it up, Buttercup, and sign for a little less. Just do the right thing. For Brandon Marshall in Seattle, I like this. If he ends up making the roster, which he probably will, Russell Wilson's going to have him and Doug Baldwin and some other guys they brought in and some other people they've drafted, and I like that lineup. I think Russell Wilson is the sneaky MVP candidate this year. Don't know how far they'll go playoff-wise, but Russell Wilson's going to put on a show. He usually puts on a show. Not Golden Knights-style show, but he's getting there. And last thing I want to get to before we get to the Rob Jenners interview is the AAF, the American Alliance of Football says they are very interested in Kaepernick. Is Kaepernick interested in them is my question. And then it brings up the fact, does the AAF need Kaepernick more than Kaepernick needs the AAF? No, I think it's pretty 50-50 mutual. Kaepernick needs to show he can still play in the league, a la Johnny Manziel going to the Canadian Football League. You got to show you still got the chops, which I think he does. Cap's pretty talented. He's not a world beater, but he's better than a lot of people that are playing. I guess he hasn't played in a couple years. We don't know. But the AAF could use the exposure and the big name in the league, and then they could also benefit from having a really good player. I mean, what if he came here to the Atlanta team? I'm okay with that. I would pay money to go see Kaepernick play again, because I'm not political. I'm not wrapped up in the political stuff. If he did some of his protest things then, that's a different story. But as far as seeing him play, just like I'd pay to see Mike Vick play again. I mean, they're just those kinds of players where you just want to watch them. You know, I'd pay to see Johnny Manziel. I'd pay to see Richie Incognito. You know, thoughts and prayers to Richie Incognito. I hope he gets everything straightened out. I'll let you guys Google that one. But, yeah, the AAF has said they would be interested in Kaepernick. Haven't heard anything back from Kaepernick. But you got to remember, the AAF has Steve Spurrier coaching in Orlando. Rick Neuheisel is the head coach in Phoenix. Mike Singletary is the head coach in Memphis. Salt Lake City, the coach is Dennis Erickson. The coach here in Atlanta is Brad Childress, with the offense coordinator already being Michael Vick. And then they announced in the last day or so that the newest team is San Diego, which is coached by... Let's look that up. I swear I know it. Mike Martz. Mike Martz, who did a lot of really great things while being an offense coordinator and head coach in the league. He did a lot of things with the Greatest Show on Turf, if I am not mistaken. And that leaves, that's six teams. That leaves two more for the AAF. A lot of people said where... what are the other two teams, you think, you know? Because I just told you... What do I think the two teams are? You gotta look at the markets they've already been into, or the ones they've gotten into. So you've got Orlando, Atlanta, and Memphis that are all on this side. You've got Phoenix, San Diego, and Salt Lake City on the West Coast. I think the next two teams are going to be in the middle of the country. I think one of them is going to do exactly what San Diego did. You know, going into a market where a team recently left, I think St. Louis is a possibility. And let's see, let's think about the middle of the country. Maybe Kansas? Who knows? But we're going to find out here in the next few weeks. We're going to try to have some people from the AAF on so that you guys can, send in your questions. We can get some answered. Maybe we can get Brad Childress on. Maybe we can get Michael Vick on. Who knows? We will definitely look into all that. But right now, I want to send it over to the Rob Jenners interview. We talked with him, myself and Coach Hill talked with him over the weekend. He is Rob Jenners from 680 The Fan and the Big Podcast with Shaq. And hope you guys enjoy. We will see you guys on the other side of it, right here on Sports Club. joining myself and the coach Haywood Hill right now from 680 The Fan and the Big Podcast with Shaq. He is Rob Jenners. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you today?
You know, as we said beforehand, past the technical snafus that is the calling card of this show, we're doing great.
Yeah, that's always the case, though. Whenever you have something set up, count on everything going off the rails when you need it to work properly. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
But let's see. I want to start real quick with getting some of the formalities out of the way and the things that when some people found out you're going to be on the show, they decided to ask me. You are
sure.
The production director of 680 The Fan. What all does that entitle?
So basically the best way to describe my job in Atlanta is I'm responsible for everything on 680 The Fan and the Braves radio network that isn't someone running their mouth. So everything that goes between them talking tirelessly about Dennis Schroeder and Matt Ryan's contract and Julio Jones, that's all me. I'm all the commercials, excuse me, all the imaging, all the production, all the stuff that makes the radio station kind of chug along when those guys aren't yapping their gums. That's me. So that's the easiest way to describe it.
All right. That makes a lot of sense, you know, because if you do listen to 680 during a regular, during the day anyway, you regularly hear you during a lot of the commercial reads. Tell people exactly how those commercial reads work, because a lot of people don't realize how much work goes into a commercial read.
I mean, that's, you know, I think a lot of people don't, you know, they think about radio and you think about the, you know, the glitz and glamour of the on-air hosting, and you forget that there's a whole machine behind the scenes that makes the radio station run and makes sure everybody gets paid. So, you know, as our salespeople go out and cultivate local relationships with clients and try to create new business for the radio station, in turn, it's guys like me who have to take the ideas that the clients have and the ideas that the salespeople have and kind of bring them all together into some form of a message in a commercial read, and then get somebody to execute what you've written, making sure you're not always using my voice on every commercial, otherwise that would be just terribly redundant, and making it sound good, making sure the clients are happy with their message and that they continue to support the radio station so that we can continue to argue about Julio Jones.
Hey, speaking of Julio Jones, that's exactly where I was about to take this. Obviously, you being in town, we'll get into how you actually got into town, because you have some cool stories there. But being a hometown fan as you are, what do you think of this Julio situation? To me, they got out of the Matt Ryan situation and created a Julio Jones problem.
Yeah, that's about right. That's kind of how it goes. And, you know, Coach could probably speak to this, too. I'm kind of falling on both sides of the argument with Julio. You know, Julio signed a 5-year deal a couple years ago. Now he's coming back to the table and saying, listen, I want some more money. And, you know, as we all know, nothing in the NFL is guaranteed. So, you know, I get the whole perspective of get what you can get when you can get it. The problem I have with Julio is, look, you signed a 5-year deal. Play out your deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, play out your deal. Go get it, you know, and you know, for Julio Jones, he only got in the end zone 3 times last year. You know, as one of the premier receivers, excuse me, in the NFL, you need to find a way to get into the end zone. And you can point at, you know, Kyle Shanahan and, you know, now Steve Sarkisian as the offensive coordinator of the Falcons and go, you know, if you're not targeting Julio in red zone situations, that's fine. But if you're Julio Jones and you're the receiver that you want to say, hey, look, I'm worth this much money, I'm worth Antonio Brown money, you need to find a way to get in the end zone more. You know, have a season next year where you get in the end zone 10 times, 12 times, and then we could sit down and have a conversation about reworking your deal. But, you know, Julio, I think, is an amazing talent. I don't think the Falcons will ever let him walk away. I think they're going to restructure his deal because that's what he wants. But, you know, I'm kind of an old-school advocate, and I don't know where Coach falls in on this, but I'm an old-school guy. I say, look, you signed your 5-year deal, play your deal. You know, go get your receptions, go get your touchdowns, show everybody you're worth every dollar we paid you, and then let's go back and rework this thing then.
Right. I don't disagree. I think that all things are negotiable. That's what we find in professional sports. If you look at it across the spectrum, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football, you'll find that all things are negotiable. I think one of the things that Atlanta faces this year is making sure that they keep the continuity together. I think they're under a lot of pressure with the Super Bowl being played here in Atlanta this upcoming year, that they are going to be one of those two teams in it. And I think that's where a lot of it lies. Now, going back to Julio and his deal, one of the things that that I find intriguing is that last year, he wasn't that guy that was in the end zone a lot. He required a lot of double teams as a defensive coordinator. You're giving up a player over the top to cover such a talent as Julio. And with that, I think there are some things that were going on in his mind that if I'm requiring the double team, which limits my ability to make certain plays, granted there were some other people open and there are some other players' numbers that should have reflected that. And so I think where he is now, and he's played hurt a lot. You know, I think he's played hurt a lot. I don't think he's ever been 100% with the ankle. I think he's played through a lot of those injuries. I think at this point now he's starting to look at where he's sitting in his career and where it's going to go, especially after the Calvin Ridley draft pick. So now it becomes an interesting thing, and I'm real interested to see what's going to take place over the next couple of weeks. I think people are confusing the OTAs with him kind of holding out, and that's not quite the case. I mean, OTAs are voluntary activities that players participate in. Moving forward as it starts to now gain momentum with the mandatory mini camp that will take place between the 12th and the 14th, and then moving into actual training camp itself in later July, that's going to kind of give you an idea of where Atlanta stands with Julio and where Julio actually stands with Atlanta.
Yeah, and I think the end side there is that, you know, they said, Julio said, I'll be at mandatory minicamp. You know, I'll be there. But, you know, I don't know if it's the Calvin Ridley deal that maybe kind of put something into his mind to say, well, maybe they're looking to, you know, not pay me what I feel like I deserve. So, you know, I think it's going to be – I think it's I think the argument a lot of times is for not, because I think the Falcons are going to rework this deal and they're going to give him what he wants because he's Julio Jones, you know, because he's that star receiver that – you know, there's more number 11s in that jersey on any given Sunday than there are most other numbers. So, you know, I think ultimately the Falcons are going to kind of kowtow and just give him what he wants anyway because he's Julio.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. That's what we've said here in the last couple of weeks. And I totally agree with you that, hey, it's the Aaron Rodgers scenario too. Is Aaron Rodgers is looking around saying, I'm making $24 million a year, and all these other quarterbacks that have done half what I've done, are making 28, 30 in those range. But you know, Aaron signed a deal. You got to play out your deal. He's probably just going to get franchised and moved on from there. But I mean, that happens in every sport.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing with Matt Ryan signing the deal that he did. You know, you're going to have a lot of guys like Aaron Rodgers that come back to the table now and go, hey, man, what's up? How come Matt Ryan's a $30 million a year quarterback and I'm not? So you're going to see, I think you're going to see more of that stuff just start to pop up.
Yep, absolutely. Go ahead.
Also, I'd like to add, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. So, if an organization is willing to put that type of financial wherewithal onto a player's contract, then the expectations become great. So, again, you know, kudos to Matt Ryan getting the deal, but now what comes with that deal, because now all of the pieces are being put together and they're expecting Atlanta to make a run for this. I mean, it would be far-fetched for me to believe that the ownership of the Falcons being Mr. Blank is not having high expectations for this team this year. I don't think he's expecting them not to be in the playoffs and, more importantly, not to be in the Super Bowl with what's being placed on the table now.
100% correct. Yeah, I mean, and that's been the expectation the last few years. I mean, obviously obviously we all know what happened a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl, but, you know, since that time, you know, the expectation has been you need to be in contention every year, and especially when you come up, like you said, Coach, and you pay a guy like Matt Ryan, well, you just paid him. Well, you can't really have a lot of step-back seasons now. You know, you need to make sure that you get Steve Sarkisian on the same page and that the offense is humming. I mean, like you said, they went out, they signed Calvin Ridley, or they got him in the draft, I should say, and you know, you're going to rework this Julio deal. You're going to have a lot of pieces on offense, and you need to make this thing work. You need to make sure that you're a contender postseason time.
Yep, I think we all agree there. As we're talking with Rob Jenners, who is a winner of the Montgomery Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence, speaking of which, we know you're a big Simpsons guy. as probably, you know, 10% of our audience just laughs because they understand what that whole reference, and the other 90% are considering probably listening to a different show. do you have a favorite Simpsons character, or is that too broad of a thing? Maybe you should go top five or something.
Well, I mean, I grew up with the Simpsons. I mean, it's obviously it's in its 29th season. I mean, my favorite character has always been Sideshow Bob. It'll probably remain that way. We were lucky enough this year, since we do the podcast with Shaq, with Shaquille O'Neal, to be able to record some stuff for he did an appearance this year on The Simpsons. And we were lucky enough during his appearance that we recorded that in our studio in Atlanta. So I'm working in the studio one day, and my phone rings, and I go, hello, and he goes, yeah, hi, this is Scott. I'm the casting director for The Simpsons. This is Rob Jenners. And after I picked my jaw up off the floor, I was like, yeah, can I help you with something? And they wanted to record the Shaq Simpson stuff in my studio. So I was lucky enough to be able to do that and work with The Simpsons a little bit this year, which for me, watching it for 25 years and, you know, it being probably my all-time favorite show, getting to contribute to it in some little way is pretty awesome. And then when we were done recording, they sent us a box of Simpsons goodies. And in this box of Simpsons goodies is this giant Sideshow Bob wig, which is absolutely hilarious. And I put stake claimed on that pretty quickly. So that remains in my possession somewhere in my basement. But, yeah, it was a trippy experience.
Funny, because it's true.
That is one of our exactly favorite drops on this show. That is one of our favorite drops on this show. We call it the Homer pick. That's when we pick games and we all four or all three agree, however many of us are on that day, that we usually play that. And, Coach, I think you can attest, it's probably been since November or December since we've heard that drop.
I would agree.
That's why when I saw the Simpsons reference with you, Rob, that's why I was like, I think we can finally bring Homer out of retirement. This is great.
Yeah, there you go, man. You have to work in a Simpsons drop every now and then. I think it's mandatory radio rules that you have a Simpsons drop in your show at least every couple months. Otherwise, they throw you off the radio.
Hey, if it's not, we're going to make it mandatory from here on out. So every other show, you guys have got to come to our level now. We got to have Simpsons drops in every show.
There you go. You're setting the bar very high.
Exactly. That's what we like to do here. That's why at Impact Media, we don't just have people that make impressions. We have people that make an impact. So to make an impact, guys, you guys are going to have to put Simpsons drops now. That's just where we're at.
It's the state of the world today. Live with it.
Yep. Exactly. I want to shift real quick. You guys do some fantastic stuff on the Big Pod Show, the Big Podcast with Shaq. I actually met Shaq a couple months back. He was doing a commercial shoot out at the local JCPenney's out here in Hiram, because I'm actually in Dallas. First of all, that guy, you can say he's 7 foot, oh, he's big.
That's why you keep hearing people over the PA.
Oh, no, it's fine. But, when I met Shaq a couple months ago, people say all the time, oh, he's 7 foot, oh, he's a gentle giant, he's nice. Until you meet him in person, you don't realize not only how genuinely great a human he is, but how massive a human he is. I think I came to, like, mid-chest level on him.
Yeah, he's a big dude. 7 foot 1. We joke also on the show that, you know, Shaq doesn't stand, he rises. So anytime he's in his chair and somebody comes in the studio to meet him, he doesn't just stand up. He has to, like, put both hands on the counter. And as he stands, everybody just, their heads tilt upward because he rises from the ground. And he's a big man, but you kind of nailed it when you said genuine human being. You know, as far as, you know, I'm lucky enough to have worked in radio for, God, probably about 17 years now. And, you know, I've worked around, again, lucky enough to have worked around a lot of pretty large personalities and celebrities, whether it's sports personalities or actors. And he's probably the most genuine person I've ever met as far as that level of fame goes. You know, most guys get caught up in it and start to kind of believe their own hype and, you know, buy their own stuff. And, you know, Shaq's not that guy. Shaq will – we did a live podcast at the Punchline here in Atlanta a couple years back, and Shaq stayed for, I want to say, an hour after the show ended, took pictures with every single person that bought a ticket to see him, signed autographs, everything. Gave away a bunch of autograph memorabilia, just not because he felt like he was obligated to, but he said, look, these people paid $5-$10 to come see me do a podcast. I might, the least I can offer them is a picture and an autograph, because that doesn't cost me anything except my time. And not a lot of guys do that. So.
Now, of course, the other – go ahead, Coach.
No, I'm sorry, Jeremy. What I was going to say is that is very big of him, and I think that's what legends are made of. I think so often now in the world of sports entertainment, which they kind of mesh and live in the same subdivision but on different streets, that does happen a lot to a lot of the athletes and entertainers. They get kind of caught up in, you know, in the cloud, as I like to call it. And but when you can ground yourself as an individual and show your humanistic side, I think it speaks volumes of who you are as an individual to your core.
100%. Yeah. And then also I think that's largely what Shaq's built his brand around. And that's why he's been so successful off the court in the last 8 years, is because he's built his brand around being a genuine person, being a guy that he always says the Shaq brand's about fun. And if we're not having fun, then it can't be part of my profile, because that's who I am. I'm the guy that wants to have fun. He's all about kids too. I mean, I've never seen somebody pay less attention to us and more attention to kids. When there's like a kid come in and visit the studio, he didn't want anything to do with us. He just wants to entertain the kids and, you know, cut them off $40 to make them smile and you know, mess with them and you know, tell their parents they need to do better raising them, because they're kidding around too much in the room. And you know, he's all about the kids, and you know, like, his brand has been built around that genuine aspect of the kind of guy that he is. So,
well, to tie this into the other guy on the show and the other big time act that you work with there, you're from Monroe, New Jersey, right?
Monroe Township, yeah, it's like a suburb of a suburb in New Jersey.
And in looking at my Google map on that, because I thought I knew where it was. Turns out I was on the wrong coast. So you actually grew up closer to Philadelphia, so than any other bigger city there, right?
You were pretty close. Like where I am, you're kind of like split the difference between Philly and New York. I mean, we were about 45 minutes to Philly, probably about just under an hour to New York. So kind of right in the middle.
So in a weird way, your life and career has come full circle in working with John Kincaid, the biggest Philadelphia fan that I know.
Yeah, that's true. And John is, you know, he loves his Philly teams. Good for him, because he's been in the South for, almost 23 years,
time.
I think. John's been in Atlanta. So, to be out of market for 23 years, but still – you know, he still bleeds Phillies red. He still bleeds Eagles green. I mean, his damn ringtone since February has been "Fly Eagles Fly" on his phone. He will not let us live down that Super Bowl win for nothing. Especially because he works in Atlanta radio, and God knows Atlanta's still, you know, they're still nursing that wound from about a year and a half ago. So he'll rub that thing in every chance he gets, man. That the Eagles got it done and the Falcons could against Tom Brady. So. But John's John is a very talented, very entertaining guy. He is not shy with his opinions. I've never met anybody who will tell you to your face that they're not judgmental while they're judging you. And that's John to a T. You know, I'm not judgmental, but that shirt is awful. But we love John, and he absolutely knows how to get under Shaq's skin. He is not shy with telling Shaquille on the podcast that he's wrong or that he's out of line or he doesn't agree with him, which is, I think, a large part of the reason why Shaq picked him to co-host the show, because, you know, a lot of guys are kind of the yes men when it comes to Shaq. You know, oh, yeah, I agree. Oh, that's a great point, Shaq. I mean, John will tell him to his face, you're wrong. Here's why. I think that's 100% what Shaq wanted when he started the podcast. He's like, look, I don't want somebody that's going to agree with me. I want someone that's going to tell me I'm an idiot. And that's John. John's like, I have no problem doing that. I do that every day.
Exactly. As we finish up with Rob Jenners from 680 The Fan, the big podcast with Shaq, and once again, the winner of the Montgomery Burns Award for Outstanding Achievement in Field of Excellence. I hope you hang that on your wall, by the way. Let's talk about the two teams in Atlanta, because we've both been in Atlanta a long time, me my whole life, you for a large a large chunk of yours as well.
12
we're
years.
Finally getting to a point.
Yeah.
We're finally getting to a point where we have a couple different teams that could maybe hoist a trophy here soon. Obviously, Atlanta United with their success, but this Braves team, like before the season even started, I told a lot of people, I said, "Look, everybody knows the Braves aren't my team. They're the hometown team, so I want them to do well. But at the same time, this team is going to be fun to watch. They may be fun to watch at 500. They may be fun to watch somewhere else. But what have you seen in this Braves team, this almost miraculous run they're on?"
I mean, like you said, they're having fun. And they'll be the first ones to tell you after every post game, whether it's Freddie Freeman or Ozzie Albies or Nick Markakis, whoever's behind the microphone on our radio station as the home of the Braves, they're just going to tell you we're having fun. And that is, you know, I'm sure, again, something that Coach could probably speak to as well. That's rare. I mean, not a lot of teams ever hit that kind of level of chemistry where, especially Major League Baseball, because you have to play so many games, where you're just having fun and you're playing well because you're enjoying each other, because the guys all are young and exciting, and they know what they've got. They know they've got something special there, and they're just kind of riding it right now. And good for them, because, like you said, I don't think anybody – at the beginning of the season said, "Oh yeah, they're going to Braves are going to be the team to watch this year." No, not really. I think everybody was like, "Well, if they'll be better than last year." That was kind of the expectation we all had coming into the season. At least they'll be better than last year. They'll be a better than 500 team. What is happening now is not anything that I think was on anybody's radar. And it's kind of a combination of them enjoying themselves, them having fun, and guys they're more aggressive on the base paths than any team I can remember watching recently, maybe besides like the Royals, who won it a couple years back, who would just run, get on the base paths and just take off. They are aggressive. I mean, Ender Inciarte will run every chance he gets. Ozzie Albies has lost 400 helmets on the base paths this year. It's just ridiculous to watch them go. And I think they're just really enjoying themselves and having a lot of fun. And right now, that is like the fuel for what they've been able to accomplish. I mean, I don't think anybody coming into the year said, "Oh yeah, no, they're gonna be a team that has a contender for the most hits in baseball," which Nick Markakis is holding on to right now, and you know, somebody mm-hmm. that is going to be an extra, you know, set the league or the team record for extra base hits, which Ozzie Albies did in April. I don't think anybody had that on their radar. So it's been a lot of fun to watch.
Well, one thing I will say just to add to this is that is the secret ingredient to a team, is when you can get that type of talent put together in one space, but more importantly, they go back and they're enjoying it. They're not looking at it from a business perspective. They are professionals, but when they can just have fun doing it, that is a hard element to add, but more importantly, to find in a unit. And to me, this team is starting to take on some of that look that 96 team looked like, the 95-96 team looked like. So I'm not surprised, but once you're having fun, that is something hard to beat. And it's going to be hard to beat the Braves as long as they continue to have fun.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are starting to look at them like the 91 Braves, you know, a team that was not very good the season before. Obviously the 91 Braves were the worst to first team, made it all the way to the World Series, and I don't know if that's where this team will end up, but they, like you said, Coach, it's really hard to find that combination of talent and fun, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you have a roster full of young guys, and a roster full of guys that aren't, you know, trying to grind out a playoff series because they want to get there again before they hang their cleats up. I mean, they're just having fun playing baseball, and right now, it's just coming off the rails, and I think it could be a very fun summer, and, you know, God willing, things continue the way they're going, it could be a very fun fall.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they're going to be there, actually. I mean, I have great confidence in what Atlanta's doing right now, and I think what it does, it's just that other element that you want to bring into a city that has multiple sports teams. They kind of feed off of each other as a result of that. So, again, once you learn how to have fun with it, and believe it or not, guys, that is something that we actually do when we start to see practices lay off and what have you, or players start to get in those slumps. I always like to punch in, you know, some little peewee football game and say, "Remember the days when the helmets were loose and the shoulder pads were too big?" And sometimes you have to take them back and give them that visual. And so, again, you know, maybe that's what the Braves have done. Maybe they went out to go see a Little League baseball game and said, hey, remember when it was like this, guys, and you just run around at 5 and 6 and playing T-ball, and once you get that energy up, it's hard to dissipate that energy because, again, like I said, once you're having fun and you have the talent to do it and they believe in each other and what they're doing, I wouldn't be surprised if the Braves make a great run for this year.
Yeah. But, Rob, it's been great having you on. I appreciate you joining us. And if you want to follow Rob, he is at Rob Jenners. If you listen to the podcast, you might think it's Jenkins, but it is at Rob Jenners on Twitter. And I thought that was great, by the way, some of the bits you guys come up with. But,
God bless
you. It's been fantastic.
We've been working together for 3 years, and he'll still get my name wrong on a regular basis.
And the thing is, it's not on purpose. That is actually just how things process with him.
That's right. He's been working with our intern Brandon. Our intern Brandon, who he calls B-Dog, he thought his name was Brian for the last 2 years. So it's just, you know, God bless Shaq. That's the way it rolls sometimes with him.
Exactly. But it's been fantastic having you on. We'll let you get back to your grocery shopping, and we'll hopefully revisit this a little bit later on in the year.
Yeah, anytime you guys want me, I'm around. I'm happy to join you. I had a lot of fun.
All right, well, you have a good rest of your day, and we will talk to you down the road.
All right, you bet. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Coach. I'll talk to you guys soon.
And, of course, that was Rob Jenners that myself and Coach got a chance to talk to over the weekend. That guy's fantastic. He, of course, is the production director at 680 The Fan, and he produces the big podcast with Shaq, which obviously has Brandon, John Kincaid, and Shaq that all do some fantastic things over there. If you're not listening to that podcast, you should listen to that podcast. It's fantastic. They're really hilarious, and they literally film it at the Battery Atlanta right next to where the Braves play. But that's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate the coach hanging out with us on Saturday to talk to Rob. Appreciate Rob Jenners at Rob Jenners. It is one of the Christmas episodes, I believe, from last season, season 29 of The Simpsons. If you want to go check that one out, it's where Bart gets lost in a nuclear bunker. But that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Impact Media. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. I am Jeremy the Impact York. This has been Sports Club. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons.
It's funny because it's true.